sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. On today's show, I'm joined by three esteemed members of the 9/11 Truth Movement to discuss the grand jury investigation into the collapses of the three World Trade Centers in New York City on 9/11, which is now before the federal court in New York City. It's an honor to introduce these three esteemed guests. First, we have Richard Gage, who was a San Francisco Bay Area architect of 30 years, a member of the American Institute of Architects, and the founder and president of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Since founding Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, he has delivered his live multimedia presentation on the subject more than 550 times in dozens of foreign countries and 110 American cities. He has appeared in more than 600 radio and television spots. And then we have Barbara Honegger. Barbara Honegger is a leading researcher, author, and public speaker on September 11th. She is a board member and grand jury petition drafting committee member for the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry that filed a demand for a special federal criminal grand jury on the World Trade Center attacks in April of 2018 with the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. Barbara Honegger served as White House policy analyst and Department of Justice official in the Reagan administration, and for over a decade was the senior military affairs journalist at the Naval Postgraduate School of the Department of Defense. Due to her access to high-level military and civilian officials, she was able to piece together the inside story of the Pentagon attack on 9/11, resulting in her authoritative work Behind the Smoke Curtain, What Happened at the Pentagon on 9/11, and What Didn't, and Why It Matters. And our third esteemed guest is David Weisminkel. He's been a licensed attorney in New Jersey since 1989 and a practicing criminal defense attorney for over a decade. He is presently the president and a board member of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry. He's a retired police officer of 23 years, and a United States Army veteran who was stationed in Germany where he worked with Pershing nuclear missiles in a top-secret area. In 2009, Weisminkel ran as an independent against Chris Christie for governor. He was the only candidate who spoke about the need for a new 9/11 investigation. So as you can see, my guests today are three highly educated, highly experienced individuals who have dedicated a great deal of their time, energy, and expertise to exposing the truth about what happened on 9/11/2001. So, Richard Gage, Barbara Honegger, and David Weisminkel, it's a real honor to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
Well, great to be here.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the grand jury investigation, tell me, why is 9/11 still important these 18 years later? And let's start with Richard.
Well, we had an attack on 9/11 at the World Trade Centers, particularly, was the instigation of the forthcoming attack on Afghanistan and Iraq. We've killed 2 million Muslims. We have also engaged in a $6.5 trillion war since then. And this is going to be something that our grandchildren will still be paying for. And also, we've lost civil liberties that were sacred to us in the Fourth Amendment and other amendments. And we have lost, for instance, through the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. Now any of us can be arrested without a right to a lawyer, a trial, a jury. We can be held indefinitely without knowing what we're being charged with. And we can be tortured and even assassinated as American citizens. This is not what our forefathers fought for. And guess what? All that goes back to what happened on 9/11. So if there's any question about what happened to the World Trade Center particularly, and you'll see today there's a lot of questions that, in fact, as you mentioned, the grand jury will be looking at as well, we've got to have a real investigation. And that's why we're so excited to be talking to you today, Cheryl.
Barbara or Dave, would you like to add anything to that?
Why don't I go next? Because I'll bounce off of what Richard just said in a major way.
Okay.
People need to understand that the 9/11 wars that are based upon the lie of who attacked our country on 9/11, that lie is proven in the petition to the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District in New York that was submitted to the U.S. Attorney by our Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry in April of last year, 2018, and was amended and resubmitted in late July of 2018. The proof that the official story is a lie of who attacks America has been used to justify the 9/11 wars that have resulted in all of the horrendous consequences that Richard just itemized. But beyond that, most importantly in my mind, or at least as important, is that when you realize, and we have proven, that the official story of what caused the destruction of the World Trade Centers 1, 2, and 7 on 9/11 in New York City and the deaths of over 2,000 Americans, that the actual perpetrators are still at large and they are still dangerous.
Dave, would you like to add anything to those two comments?
Yes, but basically just to tie it together, I'd like to say that the reports are that planes were hijacked, but in 9/11, our country was hijacked as far as the Constitution and the conception we have of ourselves. The worst crime in the history of our country was committed, and it was never properly investigated, never. So that the evidence that's being presented to the grand jury for the first time, at least to my knowledge, of explosives and bombs and controlled demolition, and it's all documented in the exhibits and in the petition, it would be the first time that a public is going to have access to that, first time a grand jury is going to review that. So the most likely hypothesis that explosions and bombs and controlled demolition brought the building down is now going to come front and center, whereas the hypothesis put forth before, prior, and up to now, the conventional wisdom, the official story is, as Barbara said, a falsehood or a lie. Now, as Richard stressed, that we've been involved in this war on terror, which has done terrible things to our country, to the fabric of the people that we are. So we now, through this grand jury, have been able to, through the acknowledgement of the U.S. attorney, saying that he's going to honor his responsibilities and present the evidence to the grand jury. We have now entered the castle. We're inside. We have credibility. And as far as the progress in the process, we are way ahead of where we were at this time last year. We have now the credibility, and we are presenting this really important information, and we're excited that it's going to be out there now for the first time, really, in an official capacity.
Yes, it is very exciting, and we're going to get to that in a minute. I also have one more question before we get into the grand jury investigation, and that is, why do we need a new investigation? Why do we need this grand jury investigation? Didn't we have the Joint Congressional Inquiry and the 9/11 Commission report? And Barbara, I'll start with you on that.
Well, there's a reason that the dean of the 9/11 Truth Movement Worldwide, Professor David Ray Griffin, has called the 9/11 Commission report a 571-page lie. The commission report was effectively written, a detailed outline of its so-called conclusion by the executive director of the 9/11 Commission, Philip Zelikow, before they even interviewed the first witness. And Mr. Zelikow, of course, was a longtime colleague and co-author with Condoleezza Rice, who was George W. Bush's national security advisor in the White House and basically operating as a wing of the White House cover-up. So as far as the 9/11 Commission report is concerned, even the co-chairman of the commission wrote a book stating that it was set up to fail and that they were lied to by the FAA, by NORAD, and by the Department of Defense. So the whole thing is a sham and a cover-up, and one of the members, original members of the 9/11 Commission, even resigned in disgust and publicly stated on national television that it was a sham and a cover-up. So that should pretty well answer your question.
I think that covers it. Dave or Richard, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I sure do. That 9/11 Commission report did not even include the third worst structural failure in modern history. This is a 47-story World Trade Center Building 7, which is a high-rise that also collapsed in the World Trade Center. And this happened at 5:20 in the afternoon after witnesses hear explosions. This building drops like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically, and in free-fall acceleration.
in under 7 seconds, it is completely collapsed, just like a house of cards, like the old hotels in Las Vegas that we've all seen on TV. And yet, it wasn't even mentioned, this collapse, in the 9/11 Commission report. Most architects and engineers, in fact, know nothing about it. The American Institute of Architects has 80,000 members, I being one of them, and we were not given one letter or bulletin on this collapse. It's absolutely catastrophic, and no plane hit this building. We're talking about normal office fires is the official cause of this building's collapse, according to NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And yet, office fires have never brought down a skyscraper before 9/11 or on 9/11. And as we will see, as the grand jury will see, this building is a controlled demolition. And the forensic evidence shows just that. And FEMA, who did the first report on this in 2002, included in their Appendix C, which is a metallurgical examination, that which shows hot sulfur corrosion attack on the steel. It shows molten iron invading the steel. It shows, one of the author, Jonathan Barnett, says that the ends of the beams were partially evaporated. Well, this is what incendiaries do. And the evidence of incendiaries are found throughout the World Trade Center dust in these small, previously molten iron microspheres. This takes 2,800 degrees to melt steel. And so molten steel is found in the aftermath of Building 7 and the Twin Towers by tons and tons and tons of it, pouring out of the South Tower, in fact, 10 minutes prior to its collapse. So we have the USGS and R.J. Lee, an environmental consulting firm, finding and documenting up to 6% of the dust is composed of these iron microspheres, which they can't even identify where they came from. Well, that, again, it requires temperatures like incendiaries, which produce molten iron, at 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's what they do. They destroy by means of incredible heat. And the residue of unignited thermite is also found throughout the World Trade Center dust by a team of scientists led by Neil Parrott and Stephen Jones, documenting 4 samples in this peer-reviewed paper by the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal, which look like paint, but they're not paint. They're highly exotic, dual-layered red-gray chips, red on one side, gray on the other. The red side's composed of what? The unignited thermite ingredients, which is iron oxide and aluminum powders. So when they put these chips in a heater, they ignite and produce the same molten iron microspheres, that is, with the same chemical signature as what was found by R.J. Lee and the U.S. Geological Survey. So this is a self-corroborating, internally consistent set of repeatable experimental data that the grand jury is going to have a hard look at in the next year. And this is very exciting news for us. They'll also be looking at the evidence, of course, for the explosive destruction of the Twin Towers, which we have, for instance, 118 first responders experiencing explosions, seeing explosions, feeling explosions, in all cases, before the actual collapse of the tower. They talk about feeling a train running underneath their feet. And then seconds after that, again and again, the same type of order of events. They're hearing it, they're seeing it well before the tower actually begins to collapse. So this is direct evidence for these eyewitnesses, as well as the video evidence, which shows explosions 20, 40, 60 stories down below the destruction zone, which we're told is a gravitational collapse, which exhibits 4-ton structural steel sections hurled laterally at 80 miles an hour, landing 600 feet in every direction, well outside the footprint of this building. And what's trailing them? Thick white smoke clouds. The ends of the steel are not flammable. There's something else that's going on here, which is, again, the direct evidence of incendiaries trailing these thick white smoke clouds after all these thousands of structural elements hurled outside the footprint. So if 98% of the 90,000 tons of structural steel in these buildings is outside the footprint, what's left to crush the building? We might say, gosh, it's the concrete. Well, no, 90,000 tons of concrete is also missing at the bottom of each pile. They're each an acre in size. You should see 110 stacks of pancakes down there. No, they're pulverized in midair, which means there's nothing but office furnishings and so forth, which they can't find either, to crush the rest of the building down below. This is just the beginning of the evidence the grand jury is going to see.
Yeah, Cheryl, and just to basically summarize it, you asked about the 9/11 Commission report, basically what's wrong with it, and we'd probably say what's right with it. Did they get anything right? They failed to secure the scene. That's the first thing police do in a crime. They failed to prevent spoliation of evidence. That's the first thing that the National Fire Safety Standards would address. They failed to test for accelerants. They failed to test for explosions and or incendiaries. They failed to analyze the dust where they would have found the nanothermite. They failed to explain the tremendous heat. They failed to account for a freefall. They failed to explain the molten metal and the iron microspheres and the red-gray chips. They failed to include in the WTC-7 report the sifter plates and the shear studs and the lateral beams and the proper seating capacity, which was exposed by, I believe, Tony Zambardi, associated with architects and engineers, and then they had to amend and redo their report to correct that, but they could not explain the free fall. They failed to account for pulverized concrete. As Richard said, all this concrete is a fine dust. They failed to explain these squibs, these lateral ejections, and they failed to explain the advanced warnings that were given. And as Richard mentioned, they failed to call the witnesses, like the firemen. Can you believe it? 118 firemen witnessed explosions in the buildings, bombs. And they made statements to that, to their department. And we have those statements as exhibits. All right? It's one of our exhibits, is the firemen's statements. And the statements of other people, like Willie Rodriguez, who experienced bombs, explosions in the basement prior to the plane hitting. And his testimony in front of the 9/11 Investigation Committee was blacked out. They didn't put it in the report. And Barry Jennings, who experienced explosions in Building 7. So they failed also to explain how or why a high-rise steel-structured collapse could occur when it's never happened before because of their official story, office fires. So as you can see, when you look at this, and as architects and engineers did before the lawyers committee was involved, you had scientists looking at this with nothing to spin other than the laws of physics, the laws of science. And the laws of science and the laws of physics would be your best witness against the official story that thus far has been fed the American public and the world.
I'd like to jump in with one sentence to close the circle.
Sure.
On what Richard and Dave have just said, all of this evidence. And to close the circle, why does it matter? It matters because we have absolute proof of controlled demolition in World Trade Center Towers and World Trade Center 7. What does that mean? What it means is to have a controlled demolition requires the pre-placement of the incendiaries and explosives, which no hijackers could do. Those were the most secure buildings on the planet, especially, by the way, World Trade Center 7, whose tenants were the Department of Defense, the SEC, Rudy Giuliani's Emergency Operations Center, the FBI was in one of the towers, and the CIA, the largest CIA office outside of Langley, Virginia, was in World Trade Center 7. This was one of the most secure buildings on the planet that no foreign terrorist, this is my personal opinion now, not of the lawyers committee, but the pre-placement of explosives was not possible in these extremely high secure buildings by outside terrorists. So why does that matter? It matters because the grand jury's job is to determine if there is sufficient evidence to indict individuals and perhaps also corporations or companies for the pre-placement of incendiaries and explosives, which is the true cause of the massive death at the World Trade Center.
Okay, thank you for that. So basically the other investigations avoided or omitted or distorted all the information that you three just provided, and we're still suffering from the consequences of 9/11. So that brings us to the grand jury investigation that you're involved with. And David, maybe you could start us off with giving a little bit of background on how the Lawyers Committee formed and what their goals are.
Right. Well, the Lawyers Committee are a group of very dedicated lawyers and researchers like Barbara and entertainers like Ed Asner. And we got together and we created a nonprofit. People can see our website is lc4for911.org. And you can review on that website the actual petition and the exhibits. And the reason we came together was because we were interested in transparency and accountability of the crimes of 9/11, which we all believe were not properly investigated. So if we're talking about truth and justice, which we are, this group is dedicated to finding the truth about 9/11 and making sure that justice is realized. And that's why we now took it into a grand jury form. We've tried to think about how we best can affect what we wanted to do, and it became fairly obvious to all of us eventually that if we could get it to a grand jury, which to our knowledge had not been done previously, this evidence, and they would consider it, that we could actually rewrite history. So the petition was drawn up. Our main litigator that drew it up was Mick Harrison, and he then gave it to the board for review. We all reviewed it. We all made changes or amendments to it, and we had a final product. And on April the 10th, it was taken up to New York City and presented to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Bob McElvain, who is the father of Bobby McElvain, who was killed in the North Tower lobby area, he was with us when we made the presentation. And he was with us later on at the steps of City Hall for a press conference. But on April 10th, we presented that to the U.S. Attorney's Office. And then we made some changes to it just to include some additional criminal charges on July 30th. And then on November 7th of this year, we received the following letter. It said, we have received and reviewed the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 inquiry submissions of April 10th and July 30th, 2018. We will comply with the provisions of 18 U.S.C. 3332 as they relate to your submissions. And this was by Jeffrey Berman, the United States Attorney, and it was signed by Michael Ferrara, who is the Chief Terrorism and International Narcotics Unit, and also below Michael Ferrara's name was Elon Graf, who is, their co-chief. So this it established some credibility for the first time for us, and to get this evidence out there, the U.S. attorney had to review it, and he thought that, you know, it was a go. So we're going to give it to the grand jury. And so that's where we stand right now. It's been given to the U.S. attorney. He's acknowledged the receipt of it previously, and he's acknowledged that he's going to comply with the law, which is an obligation on his part. It's not his discretion to present the evidence. It's an obligation on his part to present the evidence now to a grand jury, which is 23 people.
So how does that grand jury process work? I understand it's in secret. Maybe you can tell us more about how that works.
Yeah, I'll mention it, and then Barbara and Richard can follow up. Barbara's done a lot of studying on it. It's 23 people, lay people, that are taking from the voter registration list. It is done in secret. You don't have access to get inside there and know what their process is. It can last 18 months, and there can be an extension of time. Now, what they're going to do is review the evidence, and they have the power to subpoena people, witnesses, and or whomever they want to talk to. And they have the power to subpoena documents. So that they want to subpoena somebody's notes or somebody's cell phone or financial records or emails, they can do that. And they can also make deals with people. In other words, to get somebody to talk and tell something that in case they want to take it another step and divulge something that they know about and they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. Maybe they feel guilty about it. So that's a little bit about it. Again, it's highly secret. It protects the grand jurors and it protects the witnesses too, in a sense. The witnesses can actually say and talk, but the grand jury cannot talk about what's happening there.
Barbara, Richard, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I'll start out by adding to what Dave has just mentioned about the grand jury, its powers and its process. The first thing people need to know is that the grand jury, the federal grand jury, is explicitly mentioned in the U.S. Constitution. And most Americans are not aware that there is a Supreme Court decision that was actually written by Judge Rehnquist who arguably was the most conservative justice on the court at the time and for many years. And this Supreme Court decision states explicitly that federal grand juries, believe it or not, are the, quote, fourth people's branch of the federal government of the United States, co-equal to the executive, that is the president, to the court, that is the judiciary, and to the Congress of the United States. That's phenomenal power. Now, that power, however, has been, we need to be realistic about what to expect from this process. The grand juries are completely secret for good reason, which we can go into if you'd like. But they are not only secret, but one very controversial grand jury, the Rocky Flats grand jury, which had to do with plutonium and a nuclear facility in Colorado, those grand jurors were told by the U.S. attorney or by the prosecutor that if they ever breathed a word about what happened inside the grand jury, that they could be put in prison for life. So we're not going to know probably very much about the content of what the grand jury does in its internal process. However, if they bring an indictment or indictments, those will almost certainly become public. Because when there's an indictment, then there is almost certainly going to be a court proceeding for the crime involved. That's number one. But also number two, when people go to our website, which is, again, LC, stands for Lawyers Committee, LC4FOR911.org, it's obvious where you click to read the petition, which contains the evidence. Scroll forward to page 22, which starts the evidentiary section, and the exhibits are part and parcel, they're like amendments to the actual petition, are live hyperlinks within the petition in the footnote. When you actually see the evidence that these 23 extraordinary, ordinary Americans are going to see for themselves, you will realize that everything is there to prove the explosive demolition of World Trade Centers 1, 2, and 7. Then the grand jurors have got to call witnesses. We give them the witnesses to call. If a witness is called, however, the witnesses can go public with the fact that they were called, and it's probably through that process, hopefully, of witnesses actually being called, and then hopefully telling the public and the media that they've been called. That's how we will learn that the grand jury is actually impaneled and going forward, and they can say anything they want about what they said to the grand jury.
Richard, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
The evidence that is referred to here in the 57 exhibits is very exciting to get out there. For 12 years, we've been trying to tell every congressperson about it. Four times, in fact, we've delivered the petition with 3,000 architects and engineers demanding a new investigation, along with all this evidence, to every member of Congress. And we've been after the media. The judicial branch is where our efforts have failed us until now, largely. And so this is very exciting. The evidence in more detail, of course, can be found on our website at ae911truth.org. And there's an evidence section there. And there is a documentary which includes 40 high-rise architects, structural engineers, metallurgists, chemists, physicists, control demolition experts, all laying out this evidence. And these are the experts that are going to be hopefully testifying to the grand jury directly. So this documentary is, you can see it free on YouTube. Just search on YouTube for Experts Speak Out. It comes right up. That's the one-hour version that's free. And there's even more, a 90-minute version. So I wanted to add that information into the mix also.
You were just listening to the first part of an interview with architect Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, researcher, author, and member of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, Barbara Honegger, and attorney and president of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, Dave Meiswinkel. Tune in next week to hear the second and final part of this interview. For more information and to support their work, the websites are ae911truth.org, and for the Lawyers Committee, it's lc4911inquiry.org. and the four is spelled F-O-R. So LC4911inquiry.org. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.